Okay, good morning, Shavuot Tov. We are in Masechet Erechin, Daf Kaf Aleph. We're going to finish the Perek. Would you say, Steve, that it's the most Perek dense Masechet?
Yeah. Okay,
we're just at the bottom of Kaf Amud Bet. Okay, so we didn't finish yesterday, Kaf Amud Bet. So we had here, very quickly, the sort of a difference here we saw with Rabbi Meir. So we had a ratio of a sector coming to ratio of the Amarak Yashla Rav Sefik. Okay, let's look it up to yesterday. We said, how can it be that you. We said the money's there, right? That what was the case? The case was that he had a shore, never the money yet, and therefore he at the moment made the neder on the shore. But the intention was that when he gets the money, it will become the value of the shore. I mean, the value of the money, the value of the shore in money. So Gemara says, how can that be? The money isn't there yet. It hasn't come into the world, and you can't maktish which isn't in the world yet. Who's the Shavi Mary? And I read it wrong yesterday. The Rashi, where Rashi brings your money, Rabbi Meir here. So it says in the Tanya, right? Because if you make a kedushin with a woman, so I'll marry you after I convert. Lachashit gairi, after you convert. Remember, makudeshin. That's not probably married. I read it yesterday. Remember, ain't a makudeshin. That's what threw me out the whole time yesterday. Remember, it says no problem. You makudeshin. You can make a condition on somebody that isn't yet a present. So I can makdish money which isn't yet here in front of me. I can say that at the moment I'm making it on the shore, the value of the shore on money. The money's not there. In the meantime, the shore gets the kedusha. That was what we spoke about yesterday. Now the words the Amar Adam Makdish Tavash Lo Baram. Ikad Amri. There's a yesh or another way to learn the sugya. Amar Le Rabbi Labayev. Amar Le Rabbi Baruch Rabbi Chizda. Come on, who's this like Rabbi Meir? And why is it like Rabbi Meir? Amar Adam Makdish Tavash Lo Bar Olam. And Amar Le Avela. Come on, who else could it be like? That's where basically remember Ari picked correct me yesterday. Obviously Rabbi Meir. Who else says Makdish Tavash Lo Bar Olam? Right. That's basically in the sugya. Now the Gemara says. That this limud of Rabbi Meir Maktish Tavar Olam is not an asugi we're discussing here about the guy makes neder on the shore, but another sugya altogether, right? And this is a tosefta in Bava Metzia, where a maskir bait lechaveiro, you rent a house to your friend, to somebody, v'nit naga, and the house gets negaim, right? The house gets leprosy. Now, afapi shechaltu kohen. Now what happens? The coin comes and it's mukhlat, right? What does it mean chaltu over here? The coin, it says it is negayim. Look at Rashi there, third narrow line before it gets wide. Afish chaltu coin, she'amar tamei, the coin says tamei, ve'omed l'natetz, it's about to smash the house down or break it, the walls down, whatever the case was. Koz man she'lo nitzu, so long as it's not broken down yet, omer lo maski l'socher, harei she'chalov v'necha. In the meantime, your tenant's complaining, says, we aren't going to live. About the special house, they say, what are you worrying about? They haven't broken down yet. Stay there. Even though the house has got negayim, right? You aren't, at the moment, the maskir, he's got no obligation to replace the house. What do you want from me here? Live in the house. V'lo askir l'chabayt. I'm not renting you another house. Sharei bayt she'iskarti lach kayam. What's your problem? I agreed to rent your house. And this is the house. He has the house. The house is right. Go live there. What do you want from me, right?
If the tenant's responsible for the negayim,
I don't think the tenant can be responsible for negayim. I'm not sure that you can get negayim on somebody else's house when you're renting. We'll see in a second. One second. The next amud. All right. She says, "Omelo nitzu." If they break the house down and they take it apart, whatever the case, well, the Rashi kohen, the nitzu kohen. Then Rashi says, "Yachai b'mido bayit, chai maskir amid bayit achel socher, demishum mazlei demaskiru," because the mazla of the maskir. Right? Shenechshat ala gezel or atzur ta'ayin. Remember we saw the other day that negayim comes from tzarut ayin or gezel. Remember we saw the other day we had a whole list of things. Lashon hara, you get negayim. Remember we had a list of why you get negayim. Remember that? Anybody remember? Anybody?
Yeah.
So we had a whole list of things. So we see negayim comes lots of things. And we said the idea of negayim is because of gezel. And therefore, what's the idea of negayim? The koyim makes take all your stuff out into the road. And people can come out and see all the stuff that you've stolen that you've been hiding in your house. So here it's because of the muzzle of the maskir. Because David's question was, what about if it's the guy himself? So the Gemara says,
which would make it sense.
Adarbo, right. Now, Higdisho, what do you mean Higdisho? Remember a Gershon over here, towards the bottom, the third line is Rebbe Gershon, bottom of the Amud there, Rebbe Gershon, third line. Higdisho ha-socher. If the socher had rented the house from you, and then gone and magdish the house. So what can he make? Obviously, only magdish the rights he's got in the lease, right? He can't magdish more than that. Right? Higdisho. Right? Higdisho. Right? So, Higdisho hadarbo, meaning the socher, right? The tenant. Ma'ale sachar lehigdish. So now the tenant has to give money to Higdish, because Higdish, we're going to have the right to this lease, and now it's gone because it's got negayim. So the Gemara said, what do you mean Higdisho hadarbo? How can the tenant magdish it? Right? Hechi matzi magdishla. How can he magdish it, says the Gemara? Ish ki yagdish beito kodesh amar rachmana. The Torah says, you magdish your house. Right? Ma beito birshuto. What does it mean? Just like your house in your shuto. Af ko birshut. You have to magdish that which is yours. You can't magdish what you rented. First, we answered the first question already, that the idea is the mazel comes from the maski, not from the socher. Again, I thought it was more obvious over the amud, right? But I think that I'm not sure you can get negayim if it's not your house. I think you can rent a house from someone to get negayim. I could be wrong, but I think it has to be your house. I think it has to be your house. But anyhow, you can't magdish something if it's not your house. That's not good. How can it be? So, how can it be? This is what the Higdisho maski. If the magdish is, if the renter is magdishet, hadarbo ma'ale sachar lehegdesh. Right? Higdisho maskir. You see that? Who was magdishet? The owner was magdishet. Then higdisho maskir, hadarbo, if somebody was living in it, then ma'ale sachar lehegdesh. Because basically, it belonged to hegdesh. If you put a tenant in, or you got use of it in the case, you're essentially getting hana from Hegdesh. So you owe the debt to Hegdesh. Therefore, you're not going to go and pay. That's what it means. Not that the Hadarbo was Hegdesh, but if the Magskir was Magdish, and then somebody lived in it, right, then you have to pay the value to Hegdesh. So Gemara says, what do you mean Hegdesh or Magskir? And if the Magdish was, if the owner was Magdishit, how can anybody live in it? Bemeila Kai, that's Meila. If you magdish something to Hegdesh, how can you live in it? You could say, tell me you're going to pay the value, but you can't even, you can't, forget about the value, you can't, there's Israel Hana here. But two, and furthermore, ma'aleh sachar lehegdesh, kevan demalbe, you're telling me that if you were, you want to tell me that because you were dan me'ila, you got Hana from that Amigdash property, you can just pay them back? Doesn't work like that. The moment you get me'ila, there's ne'ila, nafik leh sachar lechulin. Interesting halacha this. I don't think we've come across this halacha before. What's the aloha? Let's say I magdish this phone to Hegdesh. So now it belongs to Hegdesh. If I use it, I'm over on Me'ila and it becomes Chulin. Doesn't stay Hegdesh. Look at Rashi over here. Nafik le ischal chulin. Look at the second line of Rashi there on the Amud. Venirid, Rashi says, Venirid lo gari sachar. Rashi says, it appears that you take out the word sachar. It's not nafik le sachar le chulin, but nafik le chulin. It becomes Chulin. Look at the Rashi. Klomar, mi shenehene betashmish habayit uma'al. At the moment somebody used the house and got hana'a and was over on Me'ila, yatsa habayit lechulin. That hekdesh is undone. Right? Kiditna, like we learned there, Masechet Me'ila on Daf Yutet Amud Bet. Ein mo'el achar mo'el b'mukdashin. You can't do Me'ila after Me'ila. If you did Me'ila once, there's no Me'ila on Me'ila. How can that be? Because the Me'ila the first time, it became Hegdesh, it became Chulin. It's no longer Me'ila, right? Ela bebehema beklisha bivad. When can you have Me'ila? With a behema or a klisha. With anything else, not an animal or a klisha. In other words, a korban. If you magdish a korban and you ride on a horse. No, that's not a good example. You ride on the cow, right? You magdish a cow and then you ride on it or you use it for something, that's Me'ila. You can give Me'ila and Me'ila and Me'ila and Me'ila. It won't go into Hegdesh. Why? Remember, because that is the cow or the animal becomes inherently kadosh. Remember? When you magdish the korban, it becomes inherently kadosh. But anything else, it's just Hegdesh has the right of use to it. It doesn't become inherently kadosh. And that's why klisharet which is a kli that used in the Beit HaMikdash, becomes inherently kadosh. So a korban and a kli shel becomes inherently kadosh. But anything else you magdish to hekdesh is just you're already giving hekdesh the rights of use. You're not only magdish. If you magdish your car, there's no inherent kedusha in the car, right? It belongs to hekdesh. So when you use it as me'ila, that will go into chulin. The keren v'chomesh ita l'shlumin. You got to pay keren and you got to pay chomesh. So you got to pay the value of what you basically dehekdeshed. Such a word, right? And what would be the word in English? How would you say, like, when you take out the Kedusha?
De-sanctified.
Or de what? De?
Consecrated.
Consecrated, thank you.
So how is Me'ila done twice here?
You can't do Me'ila here, twice.
I know, but that's why he claimed that this is, that in this case, it becomes Chulin.
Right, because there's no Me'ila
twice.
But
I don't see the Me'ila twice. Where's the Me'ila twice? I see it once.
No, there isn't. That's why there isn't. It comes Chulin. So come Me'ila twice. That's the Chiddush. Chiddush is that when can you have Me'ila twice? Only on a korban or on a clay sharei. On a korban, if you magdish the animal to Hekdesh and then you go and plow your field with it,
You
over a Me'ila. The next day you plow your field with it, over a Me'ila again.
Oh, I see.
The third day, over a Me'ila again.
And you can't do that, Baba.
But with any other, anything else besides a korban or clay sharet,
right.
Once you over on Me'ila, you essentially took it out of Hekdesh, and now you owe Hekdesh the value of it plus 25%. You basically buy it out of Hekdesh.
Okay, and then what about the chulin?
Now it's chulin. Now it's yours. Do what you want with it.
20 or 25?
25. When we learned that. That
there is no double Me'ilin. With
buying. Exactly what we said. Ain, that's what Rashi says here. That's Rashi's lashon here.
Ain
mo'el achar mo'el b'mugdashin ela b'behema v'klisha b'yovad. Only a klisha b'behema, right. So that's how, because the question here was, how could you use this house? It's a mila. So the Gemara says, no. Right? And he says, first it is mila. Now you want to say to me, oh, well, he can use it, but he's going to pay Hekdesh the value. How can it be? Once he's used it, it's gone out to chulin. He says, no, it's not a case like that. He hasn't yet magdished it. It was a case of the owner was going to be magdished the money when he got the rental. He said, when he gets the rental, he actually wasn't magdished the house. Here comes the sugya Nabi Meir. This is basically we're saying, this is what we're talking about. But how can you magdish the money? You haven't then tens of paid yet the rental. How can you magdish it? And then we've got the Ikad Amri, Amad Rav Papa Rabbi, Amri Rav Mari Baruch Amad Rav Vachizda, Kaman, who's a Laker of Meir? Obviously, Laker of Meir, the Amar Adam Magdish Tavar Shiro Balam, Amar Lei Ve'ele Kaman, who else would be like other than Rabbi Meir? Okay, so that was really the end of that circuit. Okay, new Mishnah. Chayevei Erchin Memashkinan Otan. Chayevei Chataot Va'ashamot Ein Memashkinin Otan. So what's going on over here? The person makes a neder of erchin, right? He says erki alai or erko alai, erich plani alai, and he doesn't bring the money to the Beit HaMikdash. The gizbarim of the Beit HaMikdash go out and they attach his assets. Okay, basically there's a debt as created. Look at Rashi, memashkin otan olot v'shlamim. Okay, well that's not Rashi, but that's really what it means over there. But that's with regards to erchin. But chataot v'ashamot, the guy makes a neder. He's going to bring a korban chata, or he's going to bring a korban asham. If he doesn't arrive and bring the korban, the Beit Din don't send out Gizbarim to attach his money. Chayvei olot ushlamim memashkenin otan. Right? But with a guy who's a chayv on an ola or a shlamim, they do memashkenin otan. The rationale here is quite simple. When you need the korban for kapara, we don't memashken. Why? Because the underlying premise is, if you need the korban for your kapara, you won't waste time, you'll eventually do it. If the korban is not for kapara, so then you might put it off and not rush to do it. Then we do a mashkin. Okay? Look at Rashi here. When it comes to, now that's why the Mishnah says that with regards to olot and shlamim, an ola or a shlamim, there's no kapara. Right? Look here. Otan afal pi she'ein mitchaper lo ad sheyitratze. Shneema lirtsono. Here there's no kapara. Right? Until you really want to do it. In other words, it's not like a chatat or a shlam or a asham, right? Kofinoto ad sheyomer otzen. You have to want to bring it. You made a neder to do it. Until you want to bring it, there's no kapara. Beit Din force you, but look what they force you. Kofinoto ad sheyomer otzen ani. They force you to say, I want to do it. Now, where do we know that from? Where have we heard that lashon before?
Gittin.
From Gittin. V'chein atalmer begittei nashim, in the next line, in the Mishnah. And so too with Gittin nashim, with Gittin. Kofinoto ad shiomer tani. A person has to give a get out of ratzon. So how can you force someone to give a get? You force him to want to give it. I've discussed it before many times. One time he had a rabbi, Rabbi Lapin, to explain in the Rambam, how do you do it? You tie a guy up and you start beating him. And you say to him, would you like your wife to be a widow or a divorcee? And you carry on beating him till he eventually decides he'd rather that she was a widow than a divorcee than a widow. And that's the highest level of giving a get out of ratzon. Right? So that's how you do it. Look at the Rashi, yeah? Olot v'shlamim, says, yeah? Afagav deshlamim mechaperet a'asei. Remember we learned before? That a shlamim does kapara on a mitzvah asei. Mitzvah asei is different to a chatat. A chatat, if you're over a chatat, on a lot asei, you're in a b'shoga, you're in a korban chatat. Shlamim helps you if you're over a mitzvah asei. Right? So not exactly the same thing. Hoyo v'lav chovahi alei. It's not like a chatat, you got to bring it. Lo chashiv lei kapara v'ati l'shahuya. You'll come and stall. You won't rush. Therefore, hilchach memashkinin notan. That's why the Gemara says that a shlamim, because you could have argued, a shlamim is kapara. So maybe we shouldn't memashkin like we don't memashkin for a chatat and an asham. He says, no, a shlamim is only for a kapara of an asay, and therefore, only if you bring it, it works. There's no chova. So therefore, we do memashkin. Like Amra papa pa'amim shechai vechataot memashkinin notan. So we just learned to the Mishnah a second ago that chataot and ashamot, we don't memashkin. And olot and shlamim, we do memashkin. So the Rapapa says sometimes chayvei chatot memashkin, we do memashkin. And sometimes chayvei olot ain memashkin otan. Right? So it seems to be like opposite to the Mishnah. There are exceptions, says Rapapa. And now the Gemara, he brings some examples. Chayvei chatot memashkin otan. When do we have an example of a chayav chatat, which we do memashkin? B'chatat nazir. With a chayvei nazir. Right? A Nazir brings three korban. Remember, it brings three different korbanot. If you look in Reklamek in a second, why would we mashkin a chatat of a Nazir? The Chayvan, the Abarmar, the Nazir says, what does he say? Im gileach al echad mishloshtan yatsa. If I only have to, in other words, he brings three korban. Look at Rashi, the three korbanot. A chatat, an ola, and a shlamim. That's what a Nazir brings. Chatat, ola, and a shlamim. So now the chatat, the Nazir might make a mistake and say, think to himself, you know what? It's good enough for me. I can shave on one of them. Ve'im nizrak alav echad min adamim hutar Nazir lishtot yayim v'litameh lemeitim. Pasha ba v'lo maiti. He might think, you know what? I don't need this chatat. It's good enough if the ola or the shlamim was brought. That's already going to sort me out. They broke this chair. See this? Come up in your face. It's unbelievable. He might think that one of them is good enough, and therefore the chatat, you think, I don't bring a chatat. I brought my shlamim, I brought my ola, so I bring the chatat. So therefore, mashkin notan, and they make him bring the chatat. So that's an example of a chatat where you would be mashkin, right? And chayve olot, we said that you do mashkin. Here we said, and sometimes the examples of how it would be Ashkenotan. What's an example? Be'olat yoledet. We know again that yoledet brings an ola and a shlamim as well. No, she brings a chatat, an ola and a chatat, right? The yoledet. And or be'olat yoledet. On the olat yoledet, look at Rashi, yeah? De'lo mishtariya be'kochim ad de'matyela. Right? She isn't mutar. She has to bring the ola, and we don't allow her to go into. So he has an example of Ein Memashkinan. Why don't we mashkin this Ola? Because the Yoledet knows that until she brought a Chatat and an Ola, until she brings the Ola, she isn't Muteret to go into the Hamikdash. She's still in a level of Isur. So therefore, we're not worried that she won't bring it. Look at Rabbeinu Gershom here. He says it nicely. If you look down the second very wide lines of Rabbeinu Gershom at the bottom, about seven words in from the margin. Ve'olat yoledet, she'eina yechola lavi chatata, ad shtavi olata kodem. It's quite simple. The ola comes before the chatat, says Rabbeinu Gershom. And therefore, even though the chatat is what is mechaper, she can't bring the chatat without the ola. So she's going to rush to bring the ola in order to bring the chatat. Therefore, we don't worry about memashkin this chatat, this ola of hers, Because anyhow, she can't do anything without it. Right? Gemara says, my new, the Akhtamei Kra. Why? What's the story? My new, right? So why would she rush to the Gemara? The Akhtamei Kra. Because the Pasuk brings Chatat before all of it. The Gemara says, Hama Rabba. Is it Rabba or Rabba? I think it's Rabba, that Zion. Is there a change to Rabba there? There's Vachim and Shamatos. No. Rava says, "Lemikra hikdim aktuv." It's not really for that reason. Not that you can't bring the chatat before the olah. It's just to read it first. Only for it was written, right? So the Gemara back says, "You're right. There's no law there. You don't have to bring the chatat." The Rashi, "Vahamar Rava lemikra kevi shetehen nikreit bemikra tchila, belo shetikarev tchila." Perikul atari masechet zvachim. We learned this. So it's not really that you can't bring the chatat before you brought the olah. So it's not a good argument. The Gemara says, "You're right." So when is an example of the chayvei olot that we don't mamashkin? Ele bolat metzora. It's in metzora. The Tanya got a brighter, right? That there, it's a tosefti nazir. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruka. The shita changed that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruka, Omer. Keshem shechatato v'ashamo ikavto, kach olato ikavto. It says a metzora needs an ola as well. It's ma'akev, and it's all part of his tara process. Is ma'akev, the chatat and the asham and the ola all go together. So therefore, he'll rush to quickly get that ola out the way. He won't stall with the ola, so there's no purpose here in mamashkin the ola. Okay? Principle clear, right? Okay. He was of afapi she'el mitchaper lo ad sheyitratzi. That's from the Mishnah. The Mishnah, they said that with regard to an ola v'shlamim, even that we do a mashkin, even though he can't, we have to have a ratzon. Right? That was the Gemara's story over this. Terrible. The Gemara brings a brighter. Let's say like this: Yakriv oto. The pasuk says, "Im ola korbanu min abakar." If he brings korban from the bakar, zachar to yakrivenu pedach lamoed, he has to bring yakriv oto lirtzonoi Hashem. Yakriv here means yakriv oto means we makriv, we make him bring it. That's how the Gemara learns the lashon. Melamed shekofin oto. But the pasuk, we just learned the Mishnah, there has to be ratzon. But yet the pasuk says, Yakrivoto, melamed shekofin. Yachov al korcho, could we force him against his will? Tamud amar litzono. The pasuk says, litzono. It says, Yakrivoto, you have to want to. So how can we have this? There's like a proper paradox here. On the one hand, it says, litzono, and then it says, Yakriv, we force him. So how does this work? Kofinoto ad sheyomer, we force him till he wants to do it. Okay, so that's really a classic again. Abba Shmuel. So now, Shmuel says on that, he says, an ola, we talk about an ola here, tshichedat. You have to have da'at for an ola. How do we have to have da'at for an ola? Shenemar lirtzono. A person has to want to bring it, so if he wants to do it, it has to be done with his consent. His consent means he has to know about it, he has to be part of it. You can't bring it against his will, you can't bring it without him knowing, etc. So Gemara says, Maika mashmodam, what's a chidush? Tanina, we're very learned. Afal pi she'ein mitchapelo ad she'yitze. Until there's ratzon, shnemar lirtzono. So what's the chilush aviyah? Shmuel telling us that we need da'at. It's pashut. We can't do without ratzon. Ratzon works with da'at. We need to know this. What's the chilush? The parish lechavrei. If his friend sets aside the olah for him. Look at Rashi, yeah? The afrish lechavrei. Shaya zechayav olah. Person was chavrei in Old Testament Midrash. Uba chavrei and his friend came along. The afrish mishelo lechaparatash. He said, you know what? I'm afrish this olah for Michael. Right? So now the question, Ukama Shmuel, the Bainan Shayodia Tamitchaper. So contrary, Shmuel says, Ola, Chichidat, what's it mean? I can't just go and bring an Ola for him. He has to know I'm bringing the Ola for him. And not only has to know, he has to agree that I bring the Ola for him. Otherwise, it wasn't done for him. That's what Shmuel says. Right? So the Gemara says, what would be a thought? What's happening? Why do you think any different? He says, no. Ki Bainan Da'at, you might have thought, where does a person need to have Da'at? Mididei. When it's coming from him. What do you mean, Mididei? Look at Rashi. Kagon hechad ebaitin memashkinin oto, trich shomar, what's that? Ebaitin comes to force him to take the korban, there when it's his own, ebaitin coming into his house to take a korban from him, there the guy has to agree to consent to it. And if not, we force him till he consents. Aval midachavrei, but if his friend's giving it, what does he care? Let my friend give it. I don't have to know that. No, kamashbalan, that even in a case like that, he has to have da'at. That's the chidush of Rabbeinu Gershom. Look at the very last Rabbeinu Gershom on that Amud, right at the bottom of the Amud, there at the end. Kamash Belan, de ba'inan le mishayle. He has to ask the guy first. He can't just take a korban. They have to ask the mitchaper first. Why is the Gemara zimnin de lo nichele de lichaper b'mid lo didei? Sometimes people are a bit superstitious. Maybe would be the right word. He doesn't want you to do kapara for him with something which isn't his. He wants his kapara to be done with his korban, not with your korban. I know, very nice of you, but doesn't my kapara, leave it to me. Okay, let me deal with my kapara. Stay out of my kapara, right? It's now basically, what do we see from here? That Shmuel at the moment, he says like this, that an Ola needs da'at. Okay? The Gemara gets a little bit tricky now, but let's just remember that we need, at the moment, we understand that Shmuel is of the opinion that an Ola needs da'at. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brighter. Meitive. We've got a brighter that says, Chatato v'ashamo shel ploni alai. A person makes a neder, and he says, you know what? His chatat, or his asham, alai. That's exactly the case that Shmuel brought, right? Where we said, the afrish lechavre, okay? That his friend set it aside for him. That's exactly what's happening over here. A person says, I will bring the chatat, or the asham, of ploni. Right? So now the Gemara says, the bride says, leda'at yatza. Shelo leda'at lo yatza. If he had da'at, look at Rashi, da'at, shehodia et ha-mitchaper. If the guy who was supposed to bring the korban, I'm bringing the korban on his behalf, knows about it, yatza, lo da'at, lo yatza. That is for a chatat and an asham. Remember, Shmuel spoke about a?
Ola.
So we haven't seen anything yet against Shmuel. The writer carries on and says, Ola tov v'shlamav shel ploni alai. If an ola, or a shlamav, in our case, we're interested in the ola, right, is I'm bringing for somebody else, Bain ledaat, bain shelo ledaat yatza. Is that like Shmuel or not like Shmuel?
No, not like Shmuel.
Right, Shmuel said, Ola needs daat. The brother says, Ola, we don't care. Daat, lo daat, yotze. Okay, this is a kashya on Shmuel. How does Shmuel answer it? Amalecha Shmuel. Shmuel says, no problem. Now, Rashi is going to relate just now to Shmuel's answer. This is the answer he's talking about. Remember this. Shmuel was Shmuel's answer. Shmuel said, no, don't get carried away. Ki tanya hahi, this brighter which says that an ola or shlamim doesn't need da'at, right? Bashat kapara is talking about at the time of kapara. What is kapara? Kapara is already at the hakrava stage or the zrikat adam stage, right? Look at Rashi. Ki tanya hahi delo ba'inan da'at ba'alim, we don't need ba'at. Bashat hakrava, Rashi uses the word hakrava, not kapara. Bashat hakrava, when they're actually bringing the korba. Tanya, daha hodio b'shat hafrasha, because they already told the guy when they set it aside, when his friend set the korban aside, so make dedicating this korban on your behalf. His friend was happy with it. We don't need da'at a second time. We only reconfirm it with him when we actually do the korban. V'irtzi shitotzei b'davar. Said now back in the Gemara, right? Because there b'shat kapara, it's b'shat hafrasha. Ki ka'amina ana, and me Shmuel says when I say that he does need da'at. Beshat hafrasha. That's at shat hafrasha. Look at Rashi. Vefchi ka'amina de tzarich da'at beshat hafrasha. Right? So that's what's going on over here. Shmuel is saying, this bride is not a steer to me at all, because this bride is talking about a case of hafrasha, of hakrava, and other word hafrasha. So we in agreement. I'll say that hafrasha, we have to, even the bride agrees. And the bride says, don't eat it at Korah, but even I agree, there's no steer whatsoever. And now Rashi fills in the missing words, yeah? V'ha de Shmuel de bayi da'at ba'afrasha. And this chidush of Shmuel's, which he needs da'at at hafrasha, v'lo b'chapara, and not at the start of kapara, which so at the moment, according to Shmuel, is also the opinion of the brighter, right? Upliga de ula is cholek on ula. Right? Look at Rashi. Upliga de ula, de ihu amar ibcha. Shmuel says the opposite. So Shmuel says that you need da'at et hakrava kapara, you don't need da'at et hafrasha. Is it clear? If this is clear, then the rest of the Gemara just plain sailing. So basically, we've got a brighter, we said you don't need kapara, you don't need da'at for an ola. Shmuel says, do you need da'at for an ola? Shmuel says, no, we're both talking about different stages. I'm talking about at the hafrasha stage when we're setting it aside. And the brighter is talking about at the kapara stage, the korban stage. And now the other thing I said, this is as opposed to ula. Ula disagrees and says it's the other way around. Ula says that on an ola, you do need da'at at the korban stage. You don't need da'at at the hafrasha stage. Between you and me, makes it a bit easier. Even ula's, I think ula's a bit easier, right? Because when they're making, when they're doing the korban, there you want the dot. At the afrasha stage, what do we care about the dot? You know, that's ula at the moment. Okay. Look at Rashi over here. Pick ula. The ihu amri b'charat. The amar ula. Because what does ula say? Lo chilku bein chatat le'ola. What's the difference between a chatat and an ola? Remember, the bright that we brought said that a chatat and an asham has to have dot. An ola doesn't need dot. Remember the brighter? Right? So Ula says like this: the only difference between a chatat and an ola is shechatat tzricha daat b'shat hafrasha, v'ola ein tzricha daat b'shat hafrasha, aval b'shat kapara idi ve'idi ledaat yatsa shloedaat lo yatsa. So what does Ula come along and say? For our purpose, Ula says, right, that a chatat, right, needs daat at a hafrasha stage. And an ola doesn't need ein shicha da'at at hafrasha, but needs at kapara. Edi ve'edi le'da'at yatsa shlo, and therefore, both of these, if you had da'at, you would say you didn't have da'at, you didn't say it. Ede shechata shicha da'at b'shat hafrasha, or ein shicha da'at b'shat hafrasha. Aval b'shat kapara. So he says like this, both an ola and a chata would need at the shat of the kapara. So now we see that Shmuel says that you need it at shat hafrasha, and Ula says you have to have da'at at the sha'at kapara. Okay? So that was really basically the story. Shalor da'at lo yatsa, alma b'chulu v'inan da'at v'kashya l'tarvayu. So this seems to be, Ula here, is a kashya on everything. Right? Rashi says kashya l'tarvayu. I'm confused myself here for a second. What did Ula say? Ula says, lo chilk ben chatat lo'ola, ela shechatat shechada b'sha'at hafrasha. A chatat needs an afrasha, and Shmuel said an ola needs an afrasha. V'ola ein shicha da'at b'shat afrasha. Doesn't need da'at b'shat afrasha. Aval b'shat kapara. And shat kapara, both. So he's saying that basically what Shmuel is saying is that a chatat needs da'at at afrasha and kapara, when ola needs afrasha only at a sha'at kapara. And if you saw the bright at the top, they said, Olato v'shlama. It didn't say, Echatat always needs da'at. What is it? Anybody following here? What's the two arguments? Understand the machlok on the ola. What's the letarvayu here? Just help me. I'm a bit. Somebody help me here. Ola lo chilku bein chatat le'ola. The only difference between a chatat and ola is that a chatat needs da'at et hafrasha, and the ola doesn't need da'at et hafrasha. But they both need da'at for kapara, right? So it turns out the chatat needs da'at at kapara and hafrasha, and ola only needs da'at at kapara. Where up until now we had, I got it. In the brighter we had over here, chatato v'ashamor shel ploni, le'da'at shel da'at lo yatsa, and le'da'at we're speaking there at the time of kapara, right? Okay. So Shmuel says that an ola needs hafrasha, it needs da'at at hafrasha. The brighter says that an ola needs da'at et kapara, right? There and a chatat needs da'at all along. And here we're saying, okay, honestly, I'm not sure what that tarvayu is, but let's focus on the ola story, right? So that is how we see that ola is different to. Oh, no, of course, man. Confusing myself for no reason. The brighter and Shmuel are the same, because the brighter and Shmuel are both discussing a case that you need da'at for afrasha, you don't need da'at for kapara. And Ula says you need da'at for afrasha, so he argues both the Shmuel and the Braita. That's right. Makes perfectly good sense. Okay, work to that. That's what Rashi says over here. And that's why Rashi says over here that it is betarvayhu, bekashya letarvayhu. It was kashya both to Shmuel and both to the Braita. Okay, that's it. So now the Gemara brings a brighter. Meitivei. What? Right? Clear now? Yeah. I think it's clear, hey? Right. Everybody? Happy? Are you? Right. So Meitivei. Got a kasha. Chatato v'ashamo. Olato v'shlamav. So we're all four together. Chatat, a guy makes a neder. He says, all the chatat, all the asham, all the ola, all the shlamav, shall plodi alai. I'm bringing them for him. Whichever one he's chayev. And yet the brighter says, le da'at yatza, she lo le da'at lo yatza. Now, let's just take a stop for a second. Here this brayta now says, all of them, Chatat Hashem Ola V'Shlamav. Go back to the first line.
It's a different brayta.
A different brayta. It's a new brayta. Look at the previous brayta which we had. The previous brayta which we had said, Chatat V'Hashem, we need Da'at, and Ola V'Shlamav, Bein Da'at, Bein Shlo Da'at, we don't need Da'at. Here this brayta says, Chatat V'Hashem, Ola V'Shlamav, we need Da'at. So here, on regard to Ola and Shlamim, it's Cholek on this previous Brayta. With regards to Chatat and Asham, it's not Cholek on the previous Brayta. You with me? The previous Brayta is it's Cholek. So now, Ola v'Shlamim needs Da'at. And that is Akashia. At least, we know there's a theory at the moment on Chatat v'Asham. It works with the previous Brayta. On Ola v'Shlamim, it doesn't work with the previous Brayta. We explained the previous brayta talking about the Sha'at Kapara. It worked out with Shmuel as well, because Shmuel said that the answer was that at Hafrasha we don't need to have Kapara. Right? So now let's look at the Ola section at the moment as a Kashi on Shmuel. Because Shmuel says that Ola doesn't need that. This brayta says that Ola does need that. With me? Right? Shmuel says that. Shmuel Mokila B'Sha'at Hafrasha. So it's quite simple. This can work well. Shmuel says, no problem. When the brayta says that you need to have da'at, he says, I agree with you, you need to have da'at. When do you have to have da'at? B'Sha'at Hafrasha. Ula can also live well with this brayta. Because Ula says, what's this brayta talking about? B'Sha'at Kapara. And I say, Ula, that B'Sha'at Kapara you need to have da'at. So basically, no, Shmuel says Kapara. And Ula, Shmuel says Hafrasha and Ula says Kapara. Sorry. Ula says Kapara. Right, so basically the brayta works well. Each one of them can use his brayta to support their own argument, and we haven't really proved anything. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa enters into this discussion and now tries to make life easy, but I think he makes it a bit more difficult. Amar Rapapa, matnaita ahadade lo kashyan. Basically, we've got these two brightas, right? We've got these two brightas, and they soter one to the other. Because remember, you saw there, the first brighter says, Olato Ushlamav Shelo Ledaat Yatza. And this brighter now says, Ola Vishlamim, you have to have Da'at. It says there's a steer between the two brighters. But it's not a Kashya. Why is it a Kashya? Ha Bishat Kapara, Ha Bishat Afrasha. The one brighter discussing Kapara, which would be like Ula. And the one by discussing Afrasha, which would be like Shmuel. Right? So that's what Papa seems to say, which seems to be obvious to us. Right? V'amorai, and Papa says as well, and this machloket amorai between Shmuel and Ula, nami lo kashia. It's not a kashia. Why? Shmuel moki kamaita b'shat kapara, like we just explained. Shmuel would tell you that the first brayta is talking about kapara, and batraita is talking about Afrasha. Talking about Afrasha, and therefore Shmuel would even agree. The first brayta we said you don't need to have da'at, that kapara stage, and the second brayta we said you do have to have da'at is Afrasha. And Uli Moki Ipcha, and Ula would tell you the other way around. However, says your papa, Amorai Vadai Pligi, but the actual Amorai themselves, Shmuel and Ula, definitely arguing with each other. Okay? That is what the Gemara, your papa says. So how the Gemara says something which everybody here is thinking around the table. It's pshita. That's passion. What did you tell me? You told me basically, what did Rapapa tell us? Well, we already know, right? That Shmuel holds Afrasha, that Ula holds Kapara, that the one brighty is like Shmuel at Kapara, and the other one is like Shmuel at like Ula at Afrasha, or other way around, whatever the case is, right? What's the chidush here? Says the Mahuda Taima, what would I have thought? Says Rapapa, why is it important to say that? Mahuda Taima, my Bishat Hafrasha de Ka'amar Shmuel. What would we have thought when Shmuel said B'Sha'at Hafrasha? We might have thought that Shmuel was saying Af B'Sha'at Hafrasha. Shmuel was saying, not only do you need not that you need Kavona at Hafrasha, but you need Kavona, you need to have Da'at at the Kapara stage, but also at the Hafrasha stage you have to have Da'at. That's what we would have thought Shmuel was saying. And then what would we have said? Ah, according to Shmuel, you have to have da'at at the kapara stage, and also af even at the hafrasha stage. And this first braita, which said that olatov eshtamav sheploni, you don't need da'at, would have said that's talking about the hafrasha stage, and that's actually a tiyufta to Shmuel. Kamashman, that's not the case. Okay? No, we can't learn it that way, and we don't say Shmuel means af hafrasha, Shmuel means only hafrasha. Because like I said, I think it makes more sense, or not, but it's easier to understand having to have da'at at the kapara stage. Because the kapara stage is stuck in the maaseh, right? That's when the korban is taking place. A guy set aside a korban, he might never bring it. He might never get there. It's an ola. There's no kapara. So there's nothing persuading him to go and bring the kapara. That's why we saw that ola is memashkin, right? What, we said ola is memashkin, remember? We said olot v'shlamim mashkin. Why do we force a guy? Why do we encumber the ola? Because the ola doesn't really bring to kapara. So a kapara, a guy says, I don't know, big deal. When do we want to have the da'at? At the time that actually shechting the animal. So Ula makes a little more sense. We might have thought that Shmuel definitely agrees with Ula, but he said not only do you have to have da'at, you have to have da'at previously. Kamashla, no. Shmuel is pretty consistent. You only have to have da'at at the beginning stages, and that's why the Papa had to tell us all of this. Because there is a machloket, machloket amoraim, the mission, the brightest work with all each other, etc. And that was the story. Okay, so I think that is really the Rashi there. We'll leave it out. Okay. Okay, v'chein begita nashim. The Gemara carries on and says, and so too begita nashim. Amar Rav Sheshet, hi man. We've seen this Gemara as well. Where is it? Is it a Baba Batra? Not in Gittin? Okay. So because Amar Rav Sheshet, hi man, de masar muda'a agita. Muda'e muda'a. What's he saying over here? Now we're looking at Rabbi Gershom. He explains this Gemara very, very nicely. Rabbi Gershom in these Gemaras is like just in line with Gemara of the second, the new Mishnah, the new parak on the Amud. It says there, can you see Gemara there? Gimel Mem, can you see that Gemara there? Like 2-3 lines down, Rabbi Gershom. Hai man de masar muda'gita. This person who gave testimony on a get. What are you saying? Shayu on sinotolatet get. They were forcing him to give a get. Right? V'amar la'edim, and he said to the edim there at the time, trying to force him, he says, Hevu edim, you be my witnesses. She'anus ani. I am being forced. This is not out of choice. Right? So now, what do we say? Haman de masar muda'a gita. Muda'e muda. What do you mean muda'e muda? V'lo have get. We listen to him. We take care of seriously what he's saying. And therefore, there's no da'at here. There's no ratzon. And therefore, he's in the case. He says, pshita! That's not a chidush. That's not a chidush. We need it. Why do we need it? The asa'ua ve'irtzi. Because then what happens is, he actually ends up giving a get. Look at Rashi. The asa'ua charechen. Afterwards, he gives a get. Ve'irtzi la teta get v'hamoda lo bita. Right? He hasn't yet actually told anybody that he changed his mind. So now, Mahud atam, what would we have thought? Betule batle. We might have thought now that original muda, right, has been mevat. Look at Rabbi Gershom there again. Might have told we have thought. Miditznan, midanatan. So since he gave the get, betule batle le mudai. Maybe he actually changed his mind and he was mevatel that original declaration that he was being forced into it. Kamash belan. So Rabbi Gershom, he had delo. We kamash belan that no. That we accept that he's still given the get under duress. And the Gemara proves this from the Mishnah. How do we prove this from the Mishnah? The im kain, right? Because if we say that he had been mevatel his original da'at, and he had gone back, and he had now wanted to give out a ratzon, so the Mishnah could just have said, litni, what would you learn in the Mishnah? Ad sheyitain. Look, go back a second, look at the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah in the previous Amud. It says there, V'chein ata amre begita nashim, kofin oto ad she yomar rotze ani. You force him until he says, I want to. If giving it could be just like a proof that he had changed his mind, words in that point, it's circumstantial. The fact that he gave the get, he obviously changed his mind, then the brighter word of the Mishnah would have said, kofin oto ad she yitain, until he gives it. But doesn't it says my ad she yomar? What does it mean? Until he says ad de mevatele le mudai, we wait until he actually says, "Okay, You know what? Changed my mind. What I said just now, that I'm being forced, is no longer valid. I'm no longer forced. I want to give it. He has the get. He has to actually say in words, I want to give the get. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So you can't just... You force him to do that. You force him to want to give it. And I told you, you force him, you say... And to pretty, let's be honest, most people want to be... Most normal people prefer their wives to be divorcees and widows.
So close the gap. So Rav Shishit brings up this case with the get to prove with the korban what? Which one? Korban?
No, there's not proving anything. It's just v'chein. The concept of forcing. We said over here, when it came to... Ola and a shlamim, we said that you mamashkin, that you do mortgage, you force a guy to give it, right? And now, but they've got a bit of a stirrer there, because the pasuk says lirtzono, right? Lirtzono means ad sheyirtze, until he wants to do it. There's ratzon. I say, how can you force him? So we force him until he says, I want to. And he says, there's another place also in halacha where we do the same thing. Right. It's not proving each one to the other. It just happened to be parallels. So since we brought that up, let me bring it up here as well. Okay, so that is Hadranalach HaOmer Mishkeli, Hadranalach HaOmer Mishkeli, Hadranalach HaOmer Mishkalo, actually, I think. I don't know why it's printed here Mishkeli, but the Mishnah starts with, Mishkeli Alai, sorry, Mishkeli Alai, HaOmer Lach Mishkeli Alai, Mishkeli, Mishkeli. Can you, Mishnah? Shum Ayatomim, right, are we actually doing okay, time-wise? Shum Ayatomim Shloshim Yom. So now, what's going on over here? Actually, what's Shumay Yotomim? Beitin Ayodin and Nixay Yotomim Lemochrat. If Beitin for somebody have to sell their orphans and the Beitin looking after them, they're like the upper troppers, the custodians, they've got to sell their assets. Ligavot Lebalchov to pay a chov of their father or something like that. Shamina Takarka Umachazin Shlomim, they bring an appraiser, they assess the land, and then they announce, they basically put it out to tender. This is really what it is. It's like a public tender. 30-day notice period. They advertise the land. Kol harotze likach yavo veyikach. Anybody who wants to must come and buy. Right? And Rabbeinu Gershon actually over here explains it very nicely. He says over there. Okay, we'll see. So that's Shuma Yotomim. And then the Shuma Hekdesh, and the same thing if the Gizbarim of the Hekdesh, Rashi's Gizbar HaMocher Kakish Lehekdesh. If a Gizbar is selling land of Hekdesh, right? So he's got to give a 60-day notice period, not 30 days. U'machrizin baboker u'erev. And they make every day and night, in the evening and in the morning, they've got to do a hachraza to basically attract people to the test. Look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, the second very, very wide lines. Rabbeinu Gershom says, V'ikad denichel el lakoach. No, we'll come to that just now in a second. But look at the very beginning of Rabbeinu Gershom. Shoma yatomim. 30 yom keshenitzachin baitin imkor minichse yatomim ole farnasa ole ktuba ole shum davar. They might have to pay the ketubah, the father, right? So they've got to, whatever the purpose is, they've got to start selling yatomim's assets. Tarich l'shoman l'achriz, they've got to assess it and then make a declaration. 30 yom, morning and evening, k'refarash b'gemora. Or Mary, what do they say? This is how they shout out, Sadeh plonit pesimaneya v'tshaya. This field with its borders and its neighbors, such and such. This is the earth, and it gives you the exact details of the description of the land. Kachi yafeh v'kachi shum. This is what it's evaluated at. Kedei sheyishmu b'nei adam. People should hear this. V'yavo likach, and come and buy it. V'yosif kol echad al chaveru retain. You see that? And each one will add on the other. Put it to tender. Exactly. It says, V'yosif Kol echad al chaveru liten. So whatever I say, I'll give 100, I'll give 110. Next guy says, I'll give 120. And basically, they keep it going for 30 days to get the most that they can out of it. And with Hekdesh, it's 60 days. Okay, that's the idea. So God says, Mash Nava Boker, why more night and day? Why more night and day? Amarav Yehuda Amarav, he says, B'shat hotzat poalim, B'shat achasat poalim. Because it's the time when you're taking out the workers or you're bringing in the workers. Basically, you're putting your stop. Now, there's a bit of a machloket here in the Girsaot, which is what? Is hotzat poalim in the morning and hachnasat poalim in the evening, bring your workers back? Or is hotzat poalim in the evening when you're letting them, taking them out back home and hachnasat poalim when you're bringing them in to go to work? Okay, so depending how you read it, Rabbeinu Gershom, and there's a bit of a different gear over here, how to understand that. right? But the ikad nichad mizban, it's convenient time to do a purchase. Why? Amaru lepoalim. He says to his workers, Izilu sayru ladile, go check it out for me. While the workers are there, he said, you go check out the field and give me your opinion. And b'sharach sat poalim, the nidkar. Now, and when he's bringing the poalim back, he remembers the amaleh nazar nishtayra, go and ask the questions. Okay, so that's why basically it's night and day. It's convenient. Other workers will go and they'll look or they'll remember and they'll come and tell you what they looked at, etc. Tanya miyachi v'ra b'raita, shubi yatovim shloshim yom v'shubi yekdeh shishim yom, 30 and 60, v'machiz v'okar erev. B'sharach sat poalim, b'sharach sat poalim, same thing. And here the b'raita says specifically at the time of the workers getting in and out. Or Mary Stephen and Simina Butcherain, you shout out, you scream out the details of the land, Kachi Yafi Vakachi Shuma, this is how nice this is the variation. Kolotzer Yikach Yavov Yikach, and where you come, you have Amanatli Tain Le Isha Bektubata Ulabal Chob Chobot. So either the bride says straightforward, either because you're going to pay a ketubit to a woman, or you're going to pay debt to the Baal Chob. So Gemara says, Dabri Maimar Amanatli Tain Le Isha Ketubata Ulabal Chob Chobot. Why do we want it part of our notice? Why do we get into all the details? Why do we shout out there when the representative of Beitin standing up in the square saying, why are we selling? We're selling to pay out a woman her ketubah or to pay back a debt. Now look, it's amazing the story. Look at the Gemara says. Look at this. Follow this. He says, Lamini the member of Malachi Tanya Shekhtubah Talib Chav, the Ike de Nichele Bebal Chav, the Mekil Bezuze, the Ike de Nichele Beisha, the Shakle Ad Aliad Aliad. He says, because when it comes to paying out a woman her ketubah, she's happy to get paid over a period of time. She doesn't need the money now. So therefore, she's happy for you to pay her off. See, if a guy knows that the purpose of the sale is to pay out a ketubah to a woman, he knows he's going to do the deal, adding all the cash up front. So a guy like that will come and buy, get all the money now, he'll get the money, he'll pay her off slowly, slowly, slowly. Look at Rashi Aliyad Aliyad. Purta purta, part by part. Vikelokayach the nikele lifro lebal, and the previous offer was, why do we mention the Baal Chov? Because the guy knows a Baal Chov, a person who's got debts to pay, may kill, but he's not so fussy about the quality of the currency. If you come with some damaged coins, he'll take them. Why? Because the person he owes the debt to is not going to start checking the money. So a bird in the hand with two in the bush. Let me take this money now before this guy changes his mind or runs away. So you come to pay back your creditors with the damaged coins, he'll take them. So if you've got damaged coins, nobody else but once, you know that if this guy's got to pay off a debt, he's your customer, he's the place, go dump your bad coins, he'll take them from you.